Well, good morning. My name is Ryan Bosler, and I'm the Life Teams Director here at the church. I remember it was probably maybe like 12, 13 years ago, something pretty amazing happened. DirecTV launched an additional program that they called NFL Sunday Ticket. And if you've never heard of NFL Sunday Ticket, that's an added service that allows you to have access to all of the different football games that are playing on a given Sunday, you know, like regardless of where you live, because otherwise, the only football games that you can watch is, you know, kind of like what's in your area. And at the time, Amber and I lived in Tennessee, and I was a big Cleveland Browns fan, and so I couldn't really get to, you know, see a lot of the games. I mean, we all know if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, like, they're so bad that you, a lot of times, even if you're living in Cleveland, you can't watch Cleveland Browns fans. That's how bad they are, right? The problem, though, is that I didn't actually have DirecTV at the time, so I had to get DirecTV first. And I'll never forget when the DirecTV guy came over to install our services, and I literally felt like a little kid at Christmas. And so the guy shows up, and the first thing that he does is he goes and he gets his ladder and he you know, puts it up to the roof because he's going to go like install a satellite and do that or whatever. And I remember, like, I just sat there at the bottom of his ladder as he was going up doing that. It was very awkward, I know, but I didn't know what to do with myself, but I was just so excited. And here's what was going on in my mind. As he was going up that ladder, I didn't know anything about what he was about to do or anything about the inner workings of, like, how to install a satellite or how to make that work or anything like that. But what I did know is that him going up that ladder meant that I was going to get access to NFL Sunday Ticket. In other words, his ascension up that ladder meant that I was going to get access. And really, that's what you and I are going to talk about here today in this last part of our, you know, kind of couple months long series that we've been in that we've called I Am, where we've been looking at the Gospel of John and taking all of these different I Am statements that Jesus has made. And we've done that because those I Am statements help us understand not only who God is, but then inform us about who we are. And so really, we kind of come to the end of that here today in John chapter 20. And Jesus is going to make this claim where he's going to say, I am ascending. And really, this is a big deal because when Jesus says, I am ascending, what he's really getting to, the main so what of it, is that Jesus's ascension grants us access to God. Okay, so if you ever wondered, why is it exactly that after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just hang out and stay down here with us and live with us forever? Because by God's design in the Heavenly Father, Jesus' ascension to heaven, which we're going to see, meant that the Holy Spirit was going to come down so that you and I could have access to God. And this is going to be neat, because what we're going to see as we start to talk through in John chapter 20 is we're going to see three different narratives that happen right after the resurrection. And each one of those narratives give us a specific way that you and I get access to God. So let's go ahead and let's dive in into our first narrative. And just to kind of give you a little bit of a context about what's going on at this time. So at this point, Jesus has been falsely accused, he has been crucified, and he has died, and he has been buried into a tomb. And so a couple days after that, one of his followers, Mary Magdalene, is in the process of going back to the tomb so that she can prepare the body, which was kind of part of the Jewish ritual and tradition, which kind of meant that she was going to kind of clean him up, all those kind of things or whatever. So obviously the idea there is that when she got to this tomb, she expected to see a body. And so to her surprise, to our surprise, when she got there, the body was nowhere to be found. So let's pick it up in John chapter 20, verse 11 is where we'll kick this off. And it says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb," okay, because the body's not there. "And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener. We'll come back to that. She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Now she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but I am going to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So the first thing that we see in the way that you and I have access to God is that we have access through his word. And now, so like I said, the first time that Mary comes in contact with Jesus after his resurrection, she doesn't actually notice that it's Jesus when he says out her name. And what it is it's like there's something going on inside of Mary that like her heart is not ready to hear that. Like she's just not recognizing that it's actually Jesus speaking to her. But then Jesus said to her again, "Hey, Mary," and it's like all of a sudden, like her eyes are open. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus," and she's hugging on him and she's so excited and she's joyful or whatever. And what that is that it's a powerful reminder of the power of the word of God for us to be here corporately like we are right now, hearing the word of God, but then also individually. And it reminds me of like my own personal story. You know, when I look back over the course of my life, you know, there were many times, if I'm really thinking about it, where the gospel was presented to me. And for whatever reason, I just didn't hear it. And then it came a time where Amber and I were going to this small church when we still lived in Tennessee. And not too long after that, the pastor and his wife showed up at our house, and they came into our living room and they were sitting down, and we kind of started off, you know, just, you know, kind of by making small talk. And then he just asked me, he said, "Ryan, you know, are you born again?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't even know what that means. So, I'm going to say, you know, probably not." And he said, "Okay, so here's what it means to be born again. When you're born again, it starts by recognizing that you are a sinner, and you know, and that I am too. That you know, that we all are. And what that means specifically is not just so much that what we do is bad or that we do bad things, okay? But it's even in our best of intentions, even in our best motivations, that there's still something inside us that just still bends the wrong way. And that's really how it clues us into sin in our lives. And I'm like, man, I know what you're talking about. Like, I feel that. Like, I feel kind of that pull in my life that just it seems off. So I get it. I buy it. He said, "Now the problem is because of that sin is what separates us from God and being in a relationship with God, because God is perfect, God is holy, God can't be in the presence of sin, so that we have a problem." Now, what this pastor told me was that's why Jesus had to come, was because then Jesus, by paying the price for my sin, and that's why he sacrificed his life on a cross. But even more so, he did that so that by believing in his sacrifice, then I could be in right relationship with God. That not only could I go to heaven, that's good news, no doubt. I was excited about that. But even more so, that what that meant was that I had access to God right now in my life. I just didn't have to wait to go to heaven to be able to get access to God. I could have that right now. And I'm like, man, I want that. And he said, and if you will be born again, which means if you will dedicate your life towards following Jesus, and more specifically, more practically, that means that if you would actually take your, what I'll call your functional trust, and that means like, so I trust my own capabilities and abilities and my own, my own dreams and the way that I'm going to do things myself. And he'll said, if instead you'll turn and start to follow God's will and God's vision for your life, then you can truly be saved and you'll have abundant life more so than you'd ever imagine. And I'm like, man, I want in. And it's interesting because as he was talking, here's the difference. Here's what I'm talking about, what was going on in Mary. at that time. As he was talking, there was just something going on. Like, I felt like my chest was burning the whole time that I was talking. The whole time that he was talking. As he was reading through the book of Romans, like, there was just something in his words that just made my heart, my inside, just burn. And I remember I was talking to Amber about it after, and she's like, man, like I felt that way too. And what it does is it shows the power and the importance of the Word of God and how we have access to God through his Word, which Jesus is the Word. The Word, what we understand the Word to be now, is literally the Bible. And so what I want to do is I want to get really practical because in LifePoint Church, one of our core values is spiritual intimacy. This is what we call spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy means that you and I are positioning ourselves to do whatever it is that we can in order to foster and develop a relationship with God. That's our role. And really, that has to do with reading the Bible. And I know that for some of you, just like I was, you're sitting here saying, you know, like I've never read the Bible before. And that's really intimidating. That's really scary. And I know that that's exactly how I felt. Or you're saying, you know what? Like I've read it a little bit before, but I haven't now. It's kind of hard, kind of intimidating for me to think about getting back into that. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I want to give you three practical steps. I want to get really, really practical to be able to help you with that. The first is you can go onto your smartphone and you can download the YouVersion app. Some of you have that. It's like a Bible app. Okay, Tyler's going to put a couple slides in that. He's going to put through the step-by-step instructions. I'm not going to talk that. But I think the YouVersion is great for people who are comfortable with like technology and digital and all this stuff. Because the reality is, I mean, we're always carrying around our smartphones. Okay? And what's really neat about the YouVersion app is that like it's a specific plan to take you through reading the Bible in a year. And then there's like this check the block system. Anybody else like to check the block? Anybody? Anybody make boxes just so you can check it? Okay. So it's a check the block system that takes the guesswork out of it for you. That's the first one. The second one that Tyler's going to put up there is called the McShane Bible Reading Calendar. Okay. This is a guy that lived in the 1800s, created a Bible reading program that really incorporates a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the Psalms, day in and day out. Now, I would say what I'm saying in here is I just want you to Google it. You'll find the calendar, be able to print it up, no big deal. What I think that is great for is for those of you that actually like to read the Bible like with a physical Bible, because you can go and you can print up a PDF of that calendar and then you can actually just read your Bible there. That's great for that. The third way that Tyler's going to put up there right now is a great resource that was actually written by the lead pastor of our church here at LifePoint, Dean Folks. It's called Your Next 30 Days. Now, that is a resource that's available at our connections table that you find in the lobby on your way in that you can pick up on your way out. Now, what I find really neat about Your Next 30 Days is it's a really good way to break the ice if you're sitting here right now saying the whole idea of starting to read my Bible or especially making the commitment to read my Bible for an entire year sounds absolutely awful and I just don't think that I could do it. Your Next 30 Days does a great job of starting to introduce you to scripture and give you an opportunity to read that yourself. And then, man, just see kind of where God takes it from there. Okay, so those three resources are a great way for you and I to take practical steps to start to access the Word of God in our own lives. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second one that we're going to see, the second way that we have the ability to access God is through his people. Okay, let's look at the next narrative starting in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and he said, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." That's important. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That is big. So now the second narrative is Jesus has already presented himself to Mary Magdalene. Okay, so now in the post-resurrection, Jesus is presenting himself to all of the disciples, okay? And the so what there, first and foremost, is that the disciples were there as a people together. And what we start to find out, you know, looking at other aspects of scripture, is that when the disciples got together, they were reading the word, and they were praying, and they were fasting, and they were doing all of these things. But the bottom line is that they were together, that there is something that starts with the primacy of the people of God that get together. Now, then Jesus enters the picture. And this is where it goes from being in a group of people who are just your friends to being around a group of people that are what I'll come back to in a second, that we call authentic community of the people of God. And what I mean by that, you can see that when Jesus enters the picture and it goes from just being a group of guys that are kind of hanging out to really this spirit-filled moment, is that Jesus keeps saying, I'm here, peace be with you. I'm with you right now. Peace be with you. And so what that means to you and I is that there is something about being in a group of people and opening the word of God and praying together that gives us this supernatural peace that comes over all of us in that moment. And I think that we all need something like that. And really, we go about that here at LifePoint in two different ways. The first is what we call life groups. And life groups are just very simply, you know, small groups of people, 8 to 10, that meet, you know, once a week in somebody's house, and they meet together, again, just very practically for going through scripture together, the word of God, and praying and encouraging one another and really working towards trying to help each other take your next step. That's the first way. The second way is what we call life teams. And life teams are the group of folks that we have that you see serving here on Sunday. Now, let me start with life groups, okay? Because I can remember my first life group experience. So we still lived in Tennessee at the time, and Amber and I started to go to a different church. And now what was interesting about this church is the church was much bigger, okay? And so what that meant for me was that I could actually come in, I would say not late, but I would just say about right on time, you know what I'm saying? And I would sit in the back row, okay? But I would be there, okay? So that was a start for me. That was where I was. But I would sit in the back row, all right? But then as soon as the end of the service and the pastor said amen, I bolted out the door. Because I didn't necessarily want to get to know anybody else, if I'm really being honest. I also didn't necessarily know if I really wanted anybody else to get to know me. That was part of it too. But then something changed. Not too long after we started going to church, my family and I, we were at the local community swimming pool, and the lead pastor of the church was at the pool as well, and we saw him a few times. That one day in particular, he came up to Amber and I, and he struck up a conversation, and eventually he said, hey, I'd like to invite you guys to come to my life group. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, just honestly, I felt like super guilty at the idea of saying no to the pastor. I'm not saying that's right, but I just kind of felt that. I'm like, oh my God, like you can't say no to the pastor of your church. Like, I don't know if that means you're going to go to hell, but I'm not going to go there. So I'm like, okay, we'll go. Now, in looking back, here's what made me so nervous about going into somebody's home, into a group of people like that, is because at that time, I didn't really feel like I knew much about the Bible. And I felt like that I was going to get there and everybody else was going to know about the Bible except for me. And so I was really nervous about that. Now, to my surprise, to my very pleasant surprise, what I found out once we got to that group was that everybody in our group was in a different place spiritually. Like, absolutely, some people in there knew the Bible, you know, like really, really well. And other people were like, you know, kind of so-so, like, and then some people were like me, like just kind of starting out. But, you know, the thing is, it didn't matter. Like, everybody that was in that group at the time, as I look back, they were encouraging each other and me and my family in particular in order to try to take our next step, you know, spiritually. And what I found that was so unique for me personally, and what kind of helped me understand what it meant from just being in like a friend group to like a people of God, like in disciples type of group, is that they were willing to talk about just deep level heart things that I had never done before. You know, like I would show up and I would get in a conversation and, you know, just talk about the weather, or I'd be like, oh, you know, I got this thing, you know, NFL Sunday ticket or whatever. Like, it's so awesome. And they would talk about like really deep stuff, and I didn't have to talk at first, but what I found was I was so encouraged by the conversations that they were having that like I wanted to talk. And now being in a position where I'm at now, like I can look back and I can say that for me personally in my own spiritual journey, that was a huge catalyst towards my spiritual growth. And it just made all the difference in the world and the spiritual lives of our family being able to come together in a life group like that. And so I would just say, if you're not in a life group, man, get in a life group. You know, go and find out information about that, because it goes beyond being around friends. You absolutely need friends, but you need friends that go beyond the surface level into something deeper, into something exactly what the disciples felt when Jesus showed up in that moment supernaturally and kept saying to them, peace be with you, that we have a sense of peace and a sense of rest and a sense of all is right in what's going on in my life. The next thing is life teams. So life teams, like I said, are the people who serve. So those are the people that are back there right now teaching the children. Those are the people that are walking around in red shirts. They're connections, they're friendly, they're saying hi, they're serving us coffee. And on the one hand, the life teams exist in order for us to make Sunday happen. But I'll only say that that's partly true, because the reality is that even if we didn't have that, I'm just shooting you straight, we would still make Sunday happen. God, I'll say in particular, would still make Sunday happen even if we didn't have very many people who were actually serving. The difference in life teams, okay, because the way that we look at this at LifePoint is that our authentic community, okay, that's one of our other, our core values here at LifePoint, authentic community. We look at that in two different ways, like, you know, kind of like two arms, like one is life groups, one is life teams. So what I'm saying is, on life teams, it's not just about how to make Sunday happen, although that is certainly a part of it. But really what it is it provides you a sense of community, a sense of authentic community with other believers, because there's something incredible that happens when you and I get together in a situation where we are rolling up our sleeves and we have this common mission, this common vision, and we are doing hard work together, and it's all building up towards this common mission. In the relationships, in the bonds, I mean, imagine like if you ever did sports, or you did any kind of like, you know, thing where you got together in groups and you work towards a goal. This is what it's like week in and week out when you serve on a life team and you're rolling up your sleeves towards these common missions. And I would say the same thing. If you're not part of a life team, I am encouraging you to get involved with a life team. Not because our church needs you in order to make our church happen. We don't need you like that. You need other people in your life to roll up your sleeves with and have a common mission, just as much as you need them on a weekly basis, being dialed in authentic community in a life group, okay? So that's the second one, okay? Access through other believers, other people. The third one that we're gonna talk about is access through our circumstances, all right? Starting in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them, the other disciples, when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side," and this is important, "I will never believe." Okay? I will never believe. Now, you may have heard this narrative before, this story about Thomas. A lot of people call Thomas Doubting Thomas. But the bottom line is, something is going on in Thomas's life that has led him into the moment where he's at now, where it's just not good. There's something about his circumstances that is not right. How do we know that? Because if the disciples would have said to him, hey, Thomas, like, I know you weren't there when Jesus showed up a little bit, like, it was amazing because he's literally announcing one of the, like, historic, most amazing things that's ever happened in the course of mankind, the fact that he literally resurrected himself from the grave, and we know that you weren't there, but we saw it, we can testify to it. I'm sure there's a plan in place for Jesus to come, you know, present himself to you later, or you can see that or whatever. And then Thomas would say something like, okay, hey, you know, better luck next time. Man, I believe you guys. I can't wait to see Jesus or whatever. But instead, Thomas says, unless this or this happens, I will never believe. Something's going on in Thomas's circumstances. And I don't know what, I mean, like, so if I'm Thomas, and I'm going to put my Bible down, okay, because this isn't the Bible. This is Ryan. This isn't the Bible, so you're not going to read it. Don't come up to me afterwards and say, hey, is that in the Bible? I'm telling you it's not. But here's what I'm thinking if I'm Thomas, and I don't know, but here's what I'm thinking. So we talked about Mary, and Mary Magdalene was the first one that got to, you know, be the one that Jesus announced that he had, in fact, risen from the dead. If I'm Thomas, I'm sitting here saying, hey, why wasn't that me? Jesus, I'm one of the disciples. Why did you pick Mary? Why didn't you pick me to be the first one? I've been with you during this entire 3.5 years ministry of your life. Like, I'm supposed to be one of your boys. You didn't even pick one of your boys. You picked a woman. And oh, by the way, it was kind of like a misogynistic, male dominated society back in first century Palestine. So Thomas is kind of maybe sitting here saying, you know, and I mean, she's a woman, and oh, hey, let's not forget Jesus. Mary Magdalene was also a former prostitute. So you did that and not to me or to one of your boys. And then Jesus, by the way, to make matters worse, all the disciples are hanging out in a room and I'm not there and you present yourself to them. I mean, Jesus, did you like wait for me to leave just so you could show up? Like, I don't get it, Jesus. I don't feel like you're there right now and I don't know what's going on. Now, that may not have happened. That's what I would be feeling if I was Thomas. The bottom line is, though, something is going on in Thomas's circumstances that is not right, that is off, that he is trying to wrestle through, that he does not understand. But now watch, whoop, almost dropped it. Watch what happens next. 8 days later, okay? Meaning whatever was going on in Thomas's mind, whatever was going on in his circumstances, the answer to it and the way that that all got resolved didn't just happen a moment later, right? 8 days later, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. He was with the people of God. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord, my God. Now, I find that so incredible because I would expect, if I was Jesus, if I was Jesus and one of my disciples, in a way, kind of, you know, doubted me, kind of punked me out like that to, you know, the other disciples or whatever, that when I Jesus showing up in that situation, I probably would have wrecked Thomas out. I probably would have like just made him feel like he was 2 inches tall. And sometimes I think that that's how you and I expect Jesus is going to treat us. But it's interesting. Jesus doesn't do that. He comes in and he says, hey, you know, peace be with you. Hey, Thomas, you know, Thomas, I've been waiting for this moment. I know you wanna feel the holes. Man, let's do that. Let me let you feel them. I know you wanna feel my side. Okay. If that's what you need, let's do that. I'm here. And what we know about that moment was so transformational in the life of Thomas, that everything about his life was different from that moment moving forward. Because what we do know from outside biblical sources is that that moment was so life-altering for Thomas that he became really the true first, like, out there missionary. Like, a lot of people think that that was Paul. In all actuality, it was really Thomas was the first one to really take the gospel as far out to the Gentiles, all the way to India. And eventually he was martyred for his faith in India. That's how impactful of a moment that this was for Thomas. But it didn't start out that way. It started out in a really bad place for Thomas. And that's what's so difficult about trying to access God through our circumstances and understand God through our circumstances, because it doesn't always make sense, especially in the bad circumstances, right? In the good circumstances, it's a whole different story. Oh, God, you know, I just got a new job. God, thank you so much. Like, I feel so blessed right now. This is awesome. I just got, a new promotion, and man, God, I feel like you're just with me and you're leading me, and I'm so thankful for that and grateful, whatever. But now when things are going wrong, or things are going the way that we ourselves would not intend for things to go, then all of a sudden, it just at times feels like, you know, God's not there. And I think that for a lot of us are here right now feeling much more like Thomas than, oh gosh, I feel so connected to you. I feel so blessed right now. A lot of you are sitting here right now saying, you know, there's something about my life right now that is not right in my circumstances. I'm sick right now, and this wasn't the case like a couple months ago, and I don't know how this happened. But what I do know is that all of a sudden it's wrecking my life out. And I don't feel that connected to God anymore. And I don't feel like I understand why he's doing that, because I feel like I'm a pretty good person. I feel like I'm trying to do the right thing. And just honestly, it doesn't feel very fair that God would do this through me right now. I don't understand my circumstances, God. Or maybe for you, it's saying more, you know, God, I'm trying to honor you with my finances. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to take steps to be responsible with my money, and I'm trying to take steps to get out of debt. In fact, this month, you know, I had $200, and I was planning on paying off my credit card. That's a good thing. And then right before I was about getting ready to pay off my credit card, then all of a sudden my washing machine broke. Now I've got a faucet that's leaking and a plumber that has to come in, and every time those people come in, it's like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. We know that. And one of my kids has a sports team, and I got to pay for their tuition. And so now, God, not only can I not pay that $200, but now I'm going $1,000 more in debt. What the heck is going on? Hey, God, I feel like you're not with me right now, and I don't understand it. So what do we do? What do we do in these moments where, we have circumstances, right? We always have circumstances. And I'm here telling you that we have the ability, you and I have the ability to access God through our circumstances, but it's difficult to do. So what do? Here's what it is. When you and I are deeply rooted in the Word of God, and we are relationally connected to other believers in authentic community, then and only then will you and I be rightly positioned to discern our circumstances. Now, I'm not promising you that by doing those two things, being rooted in the Word of God and being connected to other believers through authentic community, I am not promising you that that means that all of your circumstances are just going to absolutely make sense. I'm not promising you that. But what I am telling you is that if you want the opportunity to access God through your circumstances, if you want a fighting chance to be able to sort through the mess of your life, the mess of my life, that you and I will only be able to do so when we are deeply rooted in the Word of God, when we are consistently, relationally connected to other believers along the way, who can support us, who can pray for us, who can guide us, who can say, no, Thomas, man, I don't think what you're thinking is right about Jesus. Or he's saying, hey, you know, I know that stuff broke down and you're trying to get out of debt, man, but that's okay. Keep being faithful to that debt payment plan, and eventually it's going to come. So really, my encouragement for us here today, as we get ready to close, is to take a step. Just take a small step. If you're here and you've never actually really read the Bible before, and the thought of that is so intimidating and terrifying to be able to do that, I want you to take a step towards one of those scripture reading plans and accessing God through his word on your own. If you are not relationally connected to other people that are like literally in this room right now, that you've been coming to our church or you've been trying it out or whatever, and you know a couple of people, but you don't really know people, and people kind of know you, but they don't really know you, you know what I'm saying? Then I want you to take a step towards getting relationally connected towards other people here in this room, either through life groups or through life teams. Because then, the so what, the reason why, is because only then will you and I have the best opportunity possible. That fighting chance that we all want to be able to say, man, in my circumstances, in what's going on in my life, in my day-to-day, that sometimes makes sense, but a lot of times does not make sense. I still want to access God. And by doing those two things of being deeply rooted in the Word of God, relationally connected to the people of God, you and I will be rightly positioned, to understand and access God through our circumstances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful so much that you've not just given us one way, but you've given us so many different practical ways in order to have access to you on a day-to-day basis. That first and foremost, God, we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory, that the way that we get the access is because you sent your son, Jesus, down here to be amongst us and to live a perfect life and to sacrifice his life on a cross. And he didn't do that just so that we could be in heaven, although that's absolutely true. But he did that so that we could have access to you right now. And God, we want that as a people here today in this church. We want that more than anything because we want to know that you're real. We want to feel that you're real. We want to know that our circumstances matter. We want to know that we don't just have to go through life not understanding what's good and what's bad. We want to be relationally connected to you day in and day out. God, would you please help us be that? Would you please make us a people of God that so desperately wants to seek you out through the Bible, through reading about who you are, coming to know who you are, not just knowing of who I am, but even more so who you are. And God, please, sometimes I get so nervous about meeting other people. I get so nervous at the idea of sitting in somebody else's house, and that seems so awkward for me, if I'm really being honest. But God, would you please soften my heart? Because I so desperately need deep, relational, spiritual, God-honoring type of relationships and friendships. And I need moments in my life where I'm around other people and I can talk about more things than the weather. And I have this sense of peace be with you, peace be with you. And every time I'm around the people that I'm around, whether it's in my life group or it's in my life team, constantly I'm walking away from that saying, God, I feel your peace. God, please make us a people of God that does our part to access you, that trust, that we can trust you with our circumstances. We're not always going to understand it, but we can trust you because you are good and holy God. But I pray that you'll make us into a people of God that desires a relationship and desires access to you day in and day out. We pray these things in Jesus' name.